get more and more energy with these very fine introductions, and I'm so humbled to be here. And someone asked me in one of the classes, and one of the persons asked, why do you do what you do? And I thought they were asking about the prison ministry, but they asked, why do you come and talk to the students the way that you do? And my answer is that I'm interested in their future. And that is the absolute truth, that I am interested in their future. It is not only the idea that we want to keep them from a fate like many of prison, but we are truly and sincerely interested in these kids' future. And I told them, I will never ever see you again. But just the gratitude of knowing that I came and tried to encourage you, it fuels me. And I was talking to one of the classes today at Travis, and you know, kids can be on their best behavior when a guest come. And all of the classes and all of the groups that I've spoken to have been on their absolute best behavior. But I think one of the best groups that I talked to so far has been that last group that I talked to today at Travis. And those kids were so engaged. They wanted to hear. I mean, their eyes were locked in on me. And I talked with them and I shared with them some of my experiences in the prison and in talking with them and trying to help them to get a grip on their lives. And and one of the kids, you know how it is, Shan, if you're preaching and you're not expecting an amen, and then you make a good point and somebody said amen, and he said, you know. And so here it is, I'm talking to the students. And one of the last students to come in at that particular time was a thin young Hispanic man. And he listened and he participated. And I made one point and he said, yes, sir. And the teacher says, he's getting it. He's getting it. And nothing is more gratifying to know that you're reaching these young people. I don't want to deal with them if they were to come to Huntsville. You know, and I appreciate Mike making a plug for our work. And, you know, I'm of this attitude that as far as what I do in Huntsville, that if you catch them while they are locked up, then you have a captivated audience. Pretty much. They ain't going nowhere. You know, I remember one time I was speaking to a whole group of inmates, and there were several hundred inmates in the chapel, and there was not a dry eye among them. Tear gas will do that to you. but nonetheless, though, you know, but to help these kids not come to where I am, and that is a good thing. And I thank you, because Ms. Boone, when she introduces me, she says that the Port Lavaca Church of Christ has him here. He's speaking there every night. And so you're getting a plug every day that she introduces me, and it gives the church a presence in the community, because you're not just interested in these individuals, only their spiritual life. You're interested in their whole life. And that's what it has to be. And I appreciate you all so very much. And when I tell them some of the war stories, that's what they kind of want to hear. You know, they want to hear life on the inside, you know, and you know, how is it on the rock, you know. And so I get a chance to tell them some of the experiences of some of the things that I go through in prison. And I talked with Ms. Garcia's or Coach Garcia's class quite extensively about, and I made reference to some of the stuff that I wrote about in my book, and the students were very intrigued by it, and a request has been made for quite a few copies of my book, and I told her that we would make arrangements to get the book to her. So I'm just proud of you, church, for what you do. In transitioning to this evening's message, if I had to say something about seeing where a person is blind, and I'm sure that somebody in the audience would say that if a person is blind, they cannot see, and if a person can see, they are not blind. Well, I'd have to take issue and beg to differ with a person who would come to that very rational conclusion. And I want to say also this evening that everybody in this room, that all of us in this room this evening, that every last one of us, we all have what is called a blind spot. Every last one of us, we all have a blind spot. In the book of Genesis chapter 27, I want to talk about a man with a blind spot. His name is Isaac. And I want to use for a title of this evening's discourse, Seeing Where You Are Blind. Seeing Where You Are Blind. And I go back to my previous mentioning that if someone were to say seeing where you are blind, then someone would conclude that if you are blind, you cannot see. And if you see, you cannot be blind. But I want to tell you this afternoon that Genesis chapter 27 tells us about a man who had a blind spot. Now, Isaac is not here, and we may have to back off our volume just a little bit. Isaac is not here, and we can't do anything for Isaac. But I'm telling you this afternoon that we can do something for everybody that is here, because every last one of us, we all have a blind spot. And I'm not only talking to people that are in the world, I'm talking to us that are in the church too, that we all have a blind spot. Maybe Granny's blind spot is that cute little granddaughter. She's so cute. That's how pretty she is. And the minute Mama says something kind of rough to her, don't talk to her that way. And Mama thinking, is that the same woman that beat me with a shoe? And that's the same one that couldn't get off my back, but here it is. She wants me to get off of that child back. So all of a sudden that grandbaby has become Granny's blind spot. We all have a blind spot. And so this afternoon, I'm talking about seeing where you are blind. Esau was Isaac's blind spot. And the reason why Esau was Isaac's blind spot was because Esau was Isaac's oldest, even though they both were twins. But Esau was Isaac's blind spot. And the reason why Esau was Isaac's blind spot, because maybe Esau did what Isaac wanted to do. Maybe Esau was just a chip off the old block. That's my boy. He does the thing that daddy does. He hunts. He's a boy of the field. That's my boy. But that's your blind spot also. You know, I could be honest right now. I can cut this lesson off and we can extend the invitation, because you're already churning in your minds about what your blind spot is. And as we talk about seeing where you are blind, the rest is almost just filibuster. You've already made up your mind about some things because it has hit you right between the eyes on your nose. Because I saw your faces when I said that everybody has a blind spot. It was as though there was, just like on the Peanuts cartoon, a little caption above your head announcing where your blind spot was. Esau was was Isaac's blind spot. Now, I know that some of us have an attitude about Genesis chapter 27. Some of us are going to say that, you know what, Genesis 27 is really a story about Jacob in quotation, at least that's the way I have it in my notes, Jacob in quotation and Rebekah manipulating and deceiving Isaac, a half-blind man. Genesis chapter 27, the Bible said that Isaac's eyes were dim. But that is not the story. That really isn't the story. The story is Isaac's blind spot. And his blind spot was Esau. Why was Esau his blind spot? Esau was careless. And anybody who is careless, they are careless because they could care less. And when Esau sold his birthright, he sold his birthright because he could care less. He wanted a bowl of stew. And he sold his birthright for a bowl of stew. That was careless. Not only that, but he married two heathen women. And the thing displeased his mother and his father that he married these heathen women. But he could care less. He was reckless. He could care less. And what Isaac tried to do, in spite of the kind of boy that Esau was, Isaac was trying to force it. Don't let Romans chapter 9 confuse you or trouble you. Don't let Malachi chapter 1, verse number 2, Jacob have a love, Esau have a hate. Don't let that become a distraction to you. In fact, by the way, that is not even a teaching on predestination. It is what Esau did that gave Esau that perception in the sight of God. Seeing where you're blind. One of the most difficult things, ladies and gentlemen, for anyone is to be shown where he or she is blind. And the reason why it is so difficult, because we will deny it. If we were to go and tell Isaac, your blind spot is Esau, Isaac would deny it. Isaac was says, according to Jewish law, the oldest child is the one that gets the blessing and the birthright also. Not so. Not if they disqualify themselves. Now look, why are y'all looking at me like that this afternoon? As if you never saw me before. We're friends. Relax. Relax. I'm not angry. I'm just ugly. So just relax. Somebody said amen. All right. First amen I got this evening. You look at Jacob's 12 sons. Birthright and blessings are not automatic. They can get disqualified for birthright and blessing. That here it is, Jacob had 12 sons. Of course, we know all the 12 sons of Jacob, and the oldest is Reuben, and the youngest is Benjamin. When it came time for the birthright. Now, the birthright entitled, and this is not even in my notes, but I guess I have to explain it to you because you're looking at me kind of funny this evening. But the birthright entitled the oldest child, or the person who got the birthright, to a double portion of whatever the father had. Well, in the case of Isaac had two children, so you divide it by three, and one of the sons get two. Jacob had 12 sons, and so you divide it by 13, and the oldest get a double portion. It should have gone to Reuben. But when Jacob is telling his sons about what they're going to get, Reuben got disqualified from getting the birthright. Just do this if you know what I'm talking about. And the reason why he got disqualified was that Reuben slept with his father's concubine. Now you know the story. And he got disqualified. Well, the reason why, or the blessing rather, and the birthright, Reuben got disqualified from both of them. And then here it is that you got Levi and Simeon. They got disqualified also. Well, the reason why Levi and Simeon got disqualified was because they went into the city of Shechem and they killed all of the men when they were soiled with circumcision. Am I not right about it? So here it is that they got disqualified, but then when it came as far as the blessing, it dropped down to Judah, and Judah got the blessing. That is the one through whom Messiah would come. And then you look at the birthright. 10 of the 12 boys were disqualified for getting the birthright. Well, who did the birthright fall to? It fell to Joseph. He got a double portion, and Joseph passed it on to Ephraim and Manasseh. But what you have Isaac trying to do, you have him trying to force this thing. Esau is your blind spot. Esau is your blind spot. Who's your blind spot this afternoon? Who's your blind spot? It may even be that rebellious child who only comes home when that child needs something. Mom and daddy, I need something. I need this. I need that, the other. That's your blind spot. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to let you know what my blind spot is. The church is my blind spot. The church is my blind spot because I am so gullible. Listen, if you say you are a brother or sister in Christ, you got me. You got me automatically because, listen, we're all part of the body of Christ. There isn't anything I would not do for the church, and that is my blind spot. There are folk that will come up and say, hey, Brother Anderson, can I borrow some money? Oh, my sister, how much you need? You know, I don't do that no more, by the way. That was my blind spot. It ain't my blind spot no more. I'm like, somebody should have talked to me a long time ago and said, preacher, the church is going to be your blind spot. I believe the church was Paul's blind spot also. Because there was nobody after the Jewish people stopped abusing Paul, then the church folks started abusing Paul. The church is my blind spot because I'm so passionate about the body of Christ. And if somebody calls me across the globe and say, can you come? And if it is a situation that I think I can help in or whatever it is, I'm rolling. And sometime my wife says, are you crazy? You going there? Well, they need my help. And if I can help, I'll go. The church is my blind spot. Absalom was David's blind spot. Oh, yes, he was. And I believe the reason why Absalom was David's blind spot was the same reason how Absalom could steal all of the hearts of all of the people of Israel. Because Absalom was a good-looking guy. The Bible said that Absalom was beautiful from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head. I wish I knew what that felt like. And here it is, Absalom. But David could not see that Absalom was a cold-blooded killer. Filled with hate. 2 Samuel chapter 13. What does he do? He orders that his brother Amnon get killed. And if David would not have ran, he would have killed his own father. That boy was cold-hearted. And when his father was running away to save his life, no longer on the throne in Bethlehem, Absalom put up a tent and went and had sex with David's concubine. Isn't that a cold-hearted boy? But that was David's blind spot. And when Absalom was finally killed, caught up in a thicket because of his beautiful long hair, David had already given orders, don't touch him. Uncle Joab ain't having that. Uncle Joab said, take care of him. And they killed Absalom. And David, when Absalom is killed, Absalom, oh my son, Absalom, would to God I would have died for you, oh my son, Absalom. That was his blind spot. See, some of you right now, and I told you before, I don't have time to play with anybody. I don't have time to mollycoddle anybody. Listen, eternity is too long and hell is too hot.
I don't have time to give you the soft sell and say, you know what, listen, we got 10 years to get this together. You only got now. That's all that's guaranteed is now. And so, and I tell you too, I ain't scared of none of y'all because I'm leaving tomorrow. I'm definitely ain't scared of y'all. But the fact of the matter is, we all have a blind spot. We all have a blind spot. Seeing where you are blind. Joab had to come to David. When David is in the house whining and crying and slobbering and everything else and just acting absolutely uncharacteristic. And Joab had to come to David and said, would you rather that all of the men have died and Absalom lived? I'm telling you, you don't get up and go and honor the people for them protecting you. You're going to hear it from me. And David had to get up. Absalom was his blind spot. What's your blind spot? Seeing where you are blind. Seeing, and Jesus, by the way, Curtis, Jesus had a lot to say about seeing. Matthew chapter 5. He talked about that you're going out and trying to cast out the mote in somebody else's eye and you have a beam in your eye. Jesus also said in that same in Matthew chapter 5, if I'm not mistaken, about verse number 29, he talks about the eye again, that if the eye is evil, the whole body is evil. In the same chapter, Jesus said that, listen, it is better that you enter into heaven with one less member than to have the whole body cast into hell. And I know we don't use the word hell too much in church because it's not dignified. You know, listen, hell is a hot place and we oughtn't want to go. Or would you prefer me to say H-E double toothpick? Will that work with your sensibilities? Yeah. So Jesus had a lot to say about the eye, seeing where you are, where you're blind. Esau was Isaac's blind spot. And, you know, I know what my next point is, Shannon, that's why I'm laughing. But, you know, I may not be able to see, but my other senses work. I may not be able to see, but I can feel. I may not be able to see, but I can smell. I may not be able to see, but all my common sense is still working. But the thing with Isaac was that he threw all of his senses out the door because he was trying to force this thing with Esau. And so here it is, he tells Esau, what I want you to do is, because I love your venison, I want you to go out there and kill some savory meat and fix it and bring it to me because I just love it. What was going on was Isaac was reasoning with the taste buds of in his belly rather than with his good common sense. His other senses were fully functioning. So here it is that Rebecca gets together with Jacob and tells Jacob what to do. And then so here it is, watch this, and this is so ludicrous, that Esau leaves and go to get the venison, so that he can cook, he can hunt for it and cook it and prepare it and bring it to his father. It's going to take a minute. Because in chapter 25, the reason why Esau sells his birthright, because he's a hunter, he goes out and hunts, but he comes back empty-handed. Been gone all day long, and he comes back empty-handed. So it's going to take a while for him to get the venison. Esau goes out one door, almost, that's not in the Bible. And then in a sense, Jacob comes in the next door. I hope you can wake up and smell the coffee in that. And Esau, Isaac asked who he thinks is Jacob, but how is it you made it back so fast? The Lord, he blessed me. You know, and that's sometimes that's our weak spot. See, gentlemen and ladies, that there are religious people. I said weak spot, blind spot. There are religious people who have blind spots. And what they do, they throw something on the wall, and if it sticks, then it becomes doctrine. Isn't that absolutely ludicrous? They throw it on the wall, Larry, and if it sticks, it becomes doctrine. And people begin to, did Jesus say anything about blind leaders? Matthew chapter 15, Jesus is minding his own business. Scribes and Pharisees come from Jerusalem and they attack him. Why do your disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? Because they wash not their hands before they eat. And then Jesus had to turn it back on them. Why do you break the commandments of God by your traditions? You are blind because you're following traditions and not what the Bible says. I'll amen myself on that one. Amen, Anderson. Blind, seeing where you are blind. Keith, you know what my prayer is, and my prayer has always been, even before I became a member of the body of Christ, God, if I am doing something that is not right, show me. And when I was shown, I did not kick against it. Because it was an answer to a prayer. If there is somebody here today and you are a religious person and your prayer ought to be, God, if I'm doing anything wrong, show me. I don't want to live in blindness. I don't want to die because I am blind and miss the mark. Show me. Matthew 15, they come to Jesus. Same chapter later on, Jesus talked to them about breaking the commandments of God with their traditions. The disciples come to Jesus and said, Master, knowest thou that you offended the Pharisees? Now here it is, they're coming to check Jesus. And Jesus tells them, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind leads the blind, only the blind leader going to fall in the ditch? No. Both are going to fall into the ditch. Seeing where you are blind. Isaiah 9:16, it is the leader of these people that caused in the air, and they that are led of them are destroyed also. Seeing where you're blind. What is the desire of most parents? That our children see where they are blind. And what do you think your job is? Your job is to help that child see where he or she is blind. And I'm sorry, they are blind about a whole lot of stuff. They just haven't lived that many years. They don't know a whole lot about a lot of nothing. And so it is my job to help my child see where he and or she is blind. If it is friends, if it is conduct, if it is anything, that child is going to be told that it's not the thing to do, that it's not the place to go, you are not going there. Because I am responsible for you. And if I'm responsible for you, and if I will fight the devil for you, I'm going to fight you for yourself. I'll amen myself on that one too. Amen, Anderson. Seeing where you're blind. Seeing where you're blind. Ladies and gentlemen, our friend is blind. And his blind spot is his own son, Esau. Now, some of us, now, if I was on the other side of the tracks and not this side of the tracks, I would say the following. That sometimes there are women that are blind to no good men. Thank you. The rest of them say, oh, he said that. It's just the truth. And you know you have daughters that just, they can attract no good men like lint on a dress that is magnetized. Static cling, in other words. They just attract no good men. And you know what you tell them, baby? He ain't no good, but mama, I love him. Well, what's going to happen when the bills come due? You're going to love him then? Well, we just going to sit in the dark, you know? Baby, he ain't no good. You got to see where you are blind. We all have a blind spot. We all have a blind spot. And you should be able to see where you're blind. Let me get back to my lesson. I told you that I may be blind, but my other senses are working very well. My common sense is working. Because when Isaac thought it was Esau that returned, but it was really Jacob that had come in just that quick. Shouldn't his common sense, Curtis, have told him, dude, that ain't Esau, unless he killed the venison in the backyard, you know, but he had to go hunt for it. And then he had to prepare it. Then he had to skin it. Then he had to dress it. That don't work. And so he disarmed his senses. He disarmed his senses. True story. And I'm not making this up. Back in Louisiana, before I moved here, there was, I'm very evangelistic. Find somebody, hey, you want to know about the Lord? I'm going to spend some time with you in this day. And I met this guy. I was in the Washington area. Met this guy. And we got engaged in a conversation. We started talking about the Bible, and he got interested. We started talking about the Bible some more and this, that, and the other, and we kept talking about the Bible. And then he said, I'd like to go to, and so he came to church with me. And we sat on the front row together, and we talked some more about the Bible and this, that, and the other. And then, you know, he says, listen, I'm going to be gone, and my house is in a bad neighborhood. I was living at home at that time. He said, would you mind house-sitting for me? You know, and I said, I don't mind that at all. And then I told my sister some of the conversations that I had with the guy. And true story, I'm not making this up. And the guy said, I will give you half of my check and I'll buy clothes for you. I'm thinking, man, that is a good guy. So I told my sister about it. And my sister, she has a way with me. What Diane will do, she'll say my name twice. And if she says my name twice, I know something is up. So I told Diane about this guy. And Diane said, Freddie. I said, what? She said, Freddie. I said, what? That guy is gay. He wants you. I said, no. I had a blind spot. I'm telling you, the church is my blind spot. It is my blind spot. This guy was hitting hard on me, wanted to give me half of his check, wanted to buy me clothes, and I didn't see it. Didn't see it because of my blind spot. What I did, I turned off my common sense. I turned off my common sense. And you may not have a, somebody need to turn off their phone, turn off your common sense. So you can't see, but you can feel. So here it is, Jacob comes in and his mother has already perpetrated the fraud, and I'm a smooth person, and if my father feels me, he's going to know that it's not Esau because I'm a smooth guy, and the mother puts on goat skin on him, and he goes in, and then Isaac says, come here, let me feel you. And he feels his hand. I don't know about y'all, but animal fur don't feel like human hair. But he wanted it so bad to be Esau that he made it Esau. I'm serious this afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Seeing where you are blind. Some of the stuff that people do religiously, you know it doesn't feel right. Simply because it ain't right. It ain't found in the Bible. to go around, and you may visit a Church of Christ, and you may see that we have communion every Sunday. And then when you read things in the Bible, and you see that disciples are the disciples of Christ, that they had the communion on the first day of the week, Acts 20 and 7. You see that they did that. And then you begin to think, something doesn't feel right. Well, we'll have collection every Sunday, but we won't have communion every Sunday. Something just don't feel right. It just doesn't feel right. And you know when it isn't right. Because when you read it in the scriptures and it doesn't match up to what the Bible says, then you're not blind anymore. Your eyes have been opened. Isaac was fooled. He lost his sense of touch because he wanted it so badly for Esau to get that birthright, that blessing rather. I may not be able to, I may be blind, but I don't turn off my common sense. I don't turn off my sense of feel. I don't even turn off my sense of hearing either. Because here it is that Isaac tells Jacob, your voice don't sound like Esau. But yet he went on. That Esau, because maybe Esau was a robust, typical mesomorph or muscular guy, and maybe he had a deep voice, and here it is, Jacob had a high-pitched voice. Maybe he thought Esau was sick. I don't know. But shouldn't his sense of hearing have worked? What about his sense of smell? Because later on, and here it is, my notes, I'm taking my notes, I'm putting them up, and about to close the book, and the lesson is primarily over. But here it is, later on, he wanted that savory meat that he loved so much, he tells the person who was perpetrating to be his son, draw near that I might bless you. And when he went to kiss Jacob, who was pretending to be Esau, he smelled the skins. And he said, you smell like my son. You smell like the field. In spite of all of his senses, he was allowing that blind spot to dominate. Ladies and gentlemen, we cannot do it that way. We have to see where we are blind. You think you may have more time because Granny lived to be 80 and Grandpa lived, or Pawpaw lived to be 75. You think you have that many years. It's not guaranteed. The only thing that is guaranteed to you is the right now. I'm going to come back to that again. That's my last point. But you're blind to the idea that you have more time. There are people, Mike, who visit the church here, and if you would not know, they visit with such regularity that you might think that these were already members. But they have not put Christ on in baptism. They have not confessed that I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You're just a regular visitor. It is time to stop being on the outside. Tonight is the night that you see where you are blind. And you don't have the situation or the circumstance that you're going to put your son in a bad situation, that later on in that same chapter, Esau comes in verse number 31. He tells his father, I have cooked the savory food for you. Now bless me. He says, who are you? He says, I am Esau, your son. He said, well, I've already given the blessing to somebody else. And Esau knew exactly who it was. And you could almost hear the cry, verse number 34, in Esau's voice. Esau is begging for a blessing. He is saying, bless me, oh my father, bless me. Didn't you reserve one blessing for me? No, I didn't reserve a blessing for you. And the reason why he didn't have a blessing for his son, because he couldn't see where he was blind. John chapter 9, the man that was born blind. The Bible says that a lot of hocus pocus was going on with the Jews. And here it is, they brought the man in, they brought his family in first, and then they bring the man in, and they tell him, give God the glory. So well, what exactly happened to you? Says, I know there was a man named Jesus. He made a mud pack, put it on my eyes, and he told me to go wash. He says that I know I was blind, but now I see. That's where I'm getting to that now at. You've been blind for a while, but now you see. 2 Kings, chapter 5, verse number 11. Well, verse number 11 is really where I want to go, but you got to go before that with Naaman, and Naaman is told to go and dip himself in Jordan, and seven times and your skin will be restored. Naaman gets mad. Verse number 11, he says, behold, I thought the man would come out, and he would smack his hand against the chest, and he would say, go, he got, are there not the rivers of Damascus better than old dirty Jordan? What about Abana and Pharpar? Can I not go there? Thank God. God, that was somebody who was with Naaman, who had enough backbone to tell Naaman, if the man of God would have told you to do something great, would you not have done it? But he simply tells you, go and dip in Jordan. And Naaman relents, and he goes, and he dips in Jordan. And guess what happened? He was healed. His skin was restored. Naaman comes back. This is the verse that I want. Earlier, verse number 11, Naaman said, behold, I thought he was blind. He needed to see where he was blind, and his servant helped him to see where he was blind. Come on. You've been helped this evening. You've been helped this whole week to see where you're blind. But yet you're going to hear, listen, one of the points that I have, second to last point I have in my notes is this. There is no one blinder than he that refuses to see. And if you refuse to see, you have an immense, dense, pervasive, permeated. I studied my thesaurus today. And I tell you all the time, my mama paid for them words and I'm going to use them. A vast blindness. Verse number 15, Naaman said, verse number 11, behold, I thought. And in verse number 15, Naaman says, now I know. Now I know. You know the reason why he says, now I know? He wasn't blind anymore. Seeing where you are blind, mom and daddy are not your enemies. They're not your enemies. And when they try to censor your friends, and even some of that foolishness that we children or you children look at, they're not being mean mamas and daddies. They're trying to help you see where you're blind. Because there's some things you can do in your youth that'll follow you into adulthood. And then you're going to get some doors closed. And then you're going to say, I can't make it. I can't do nothing. I was telling the kids today about this guy in prison named Junior, and then our lesson indeed is, I'm sorry I went as long as I did. His name was Junior. Bald-headed guy, all tatted up, you know. And Junior gets out of prison, and Junior wants to go get a job. They don't know whether or not Junior gonna flip the burgers or rob them after hours. Because some of the decisions that Junior made is going to follow him into adulthood. I can't get no job. Nobody want to give me a chance. Well, Junior, you chose the action, but you can't choose the consequences. So Naaman said, I thought, now I know. There's somebody this morning, this afternoon rather, their eyes have been opened. Just like the man born blind. I was blind, but now I see. Earlier he said it was Jesus who did it. Come on. Tonight is your night. We're going to sing a song in a few seconds. Let me explain to you the invitation song. And let me explain to you the standing during the invitation song. The invitation song is just to encourage you to come. And the standing is to facilitate you coming. That's why we stand. So to make it not feel so odd that if we say, hey, would you come, and then only you stand up and everybody looks and you say, I can't do it because everybody. Well, no, if everybody is standing and you come, then you're not put on the spot. It eases it just a little bit. But if you don't have enough courage to come by yourself, then somebody will come with you. And if there's nobody sitting next to you or with you, raise your hand. Shan will go and walk with you. You know, Mike will go and walk with you. Kenneth will go and walk with you. You know, Tommy will go and walk with you. A lot of people will walk with you. Mama will walk with you. Granny will walk with you. Your brother or sister will walk with you, seeing where you are blind. What do I need to do, Anderson? You need to come. And faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You need to believe in that message that Jesus died for your sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. In a second, someone is going to ask you, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? And that confession is the thing that brought death to Jesus. But it would mean life to you, because that confession is the thing that is unto righteousness. You need to make that confession. Same one that the eunuch made, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Or at least the question was asked, do you believe? I believe. Do you believe? Are you ashamed to make that confession? And then be baptized. Oh, I can do a whole lesson seeing where you are blind on baptism. But that's not for tonight. But you need to be baptized into Christ. Your eyes have been opened, and they're wide open this evening. Now is the time for you to come. As together we stand and sing, You Can Begin Coming.